from the book.
Amen. Thank the Lord this morning for good services already. Wasn't that a good crowd up there? 20 young people. My goodness, that's a blessing. We thank the Lord for that. If you would, I'd like for you to go ahead and turn your Bibles today to Luke in chapter 1. Luke in chapter 1. I want to be speaking today, of course, in this. We're going to more than likely see quite a bit of the birth of Christ, but I do want to talk particularly today about John the Baptist. I want to talk about his mission, what was set apart, what he was set apart to do, what he was set apart to bring about as far as spread the word, to tell others, to be an encouragement. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 67, we see from the Word of God the prophecy of Zacharias. And in this word, from 67 down through verse 80, we're going to see the wonder of what God had in store. Today we see people all over the world are so-called celebrating the birth of Christ. And as usual, commercialism has absolutely overtaken everything. But it has always done that. It's been that way for ages. You see the time when everybody promotes this thing of happiness and peace. And yet upon the faces of individuals there is no joy. There is no common thread of wonderment. It is the rush. It is the hurry. It is the bustle that breaks a lot of people, that brings a lot of discourse in families, even, to be honest. Because after the 25th of December, that's when reality begins to set in about, oh my goodness, what have we done? But you know, John the Baptist, I believe, has a great present for us in just what he was sent to do. And Zechariah speaks here in verse 67 of Luke chapter 1. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which he had been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us." And I'll stop here for just a moment to help all of us to realize that's exactly what, as Brother Jim said this morning, that's what they were looking for. Somebody to give them relief from the oppression of the Roman Empire. But here, the Bible says in verse 72, I believe it begins the real meaning. "To perform mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware by our father Abraham, that he would grant us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." And friend, I'll tell you, there's the greatest gift you will ever receive, is the knowledge of remission of sin in your behalf. He says in verse 78, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us, to do what? To give light to them that sat in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace." Friend, I want to speak to us today on the subject to give light and guide us to peace. God's Word tonight, or today should I say, has given us a great inspiration this morning. Great inspirations bring about great discourses in human life. And as we today sit in this house of worship, As I speak to our church family and our visiting friends and our radio audience, as I sit here today and we have already denoted the fact that we are speaking about the prophecy of Zacharias in much great detail, Luke chapter 2 tells us that Jesus Christ was to be born the Messiah of all who would come unto Him. The Messiah. The Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior to all who will receive Him. To all those who will not receive Him, He is not a Savior to you. But I'm praying today that through the message and through the Word of God that the angel of the Lord, as he brought forth a great proclamation, he talks about the fact that he was there to bring good tidings of great things. You know, as we look today in this sanctuary, God's people are blessed beyond measure. We as the saved of the earth have been blessed with the greatest gift ever given man. The gift of salvation. The gifts of remission of sin. The gift of no condemnation. The gift of forgiveness. These gifts are great in my view because they relieve me of the oppressor and the oppression that he brings. I want you to look for just a moment at John chapter 5, and we'll be looking at some scripture here today. And I pray the Lord will open our eyes to it. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus Christ speaks here and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." On over in chapter 6 and verse 35, here the Bible says this, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." You know, isn't it a fact that even in the house of God today, there are people that see, but yet do not believe? Folks, my prayer today is that God's Spirit will open your eyes that you may really see. It goes on to say in verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." The Savior, the Redeemer is, I believe, what John the Baptist was proclaiming when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Friend, today that's what I proclaim in this pulpit. To all who will hear today, behold the Lamb of God. He's not just a babe in a manger. He was a Savior on the cross. Amen. He was the Savior who bled and died and gave His life. He was buried and on the third day rose again that we might have life more abundantly. Now that's what we've been promised through salvation. Life more abundantly. But I want you to consider the mission of John the Baptist. What was the mission of John the Baptist? Well, first of all, I want you to realize it was for him to go before and announce the Messiah has come. That was his mission. That's what God separated him from the womb to do, and that was to go and tell others about the Savior was coming. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 76, again it says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways." You know, as we look in this congregation today,
We too are prophets of the Messiah. We are those that go before the great coming and the great day of the Lord. And we are proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. He's the way of escape from the wrath of a sin-hating God. That's what we are here to do today. Just as John the Baptist in that day was preparing the great transformation of the Old Testament to the New Testament. Listen, today we do also the same. We look forward to Jesus Christ's return, and we are to go forth just like John the Baptist did and proclaim the day of truth, the day of salvation is here, the day of grace. John the Baptist was to go forth and prepare the way of the Lord. He was to proclaim to all that Jesus the Messiah was coming. Now I want you to look at a few scriptures with me. Go back to the book of Isaiah in chapter 40. Isaiah in chapter 40. Brother Jim read some of the old scripture today concerning the announcement of the Savior. But notice what it says here in Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 1, the Bible says, comfort ye people, ye my people, saith our God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double of all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You know, that's what John the Baptist was doing, wasn't it? He was going forth, casting out the old stones that were cluttering the highway, so to speak, the stones of ritualism and the stones of sacrifice, and all these things were being removed by John the Baptist. He was saying unto the people in that day and time, there is a Christ come, and there's a Messiah who's coming who's doing away with all this, that we might have life today. We might have it more abundantly in a clearer way. Today, as I look out over this congregation, we see the saved. We see those who have been blessed with salvation. It is truly, as it says in Isaiah 49, that bringeth good tidings. Listen, it is good tidings today to understand that Jesus Christ has come, the Redeemer of all who will come unto Him. You know, go back, if you will, to the last book of the Old Testament there, Malachi, right before Matthew. I want you to notice what it says here even. Malachi, chapter 3 to begin with. What was the prophecy of John the Baptist? What was the prophets of old saying of this one? The Bible says in chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Listen, that's what he was going to do. He was preparing the way, and it was his responsibility to tell one and all that the Messiah was coming. You know what? He was just born just prior to Jesus' birth, if you remember. As you remember, as Mary and Elizabeth got together, you understand that when the babe leaped inside of her, when Mary told her that great happening that was taking place, listen, it was close, wasn't it? They were close in relation as far as the birth is concerned. But all the time, as Brother Jim said, you know, there were times through the life of Jesus where he was not mentioned. From the babe to a 12-year-old, you know, and all these things, and from 13 or so on to his age of 30 years old or thereabouts. Listen, there was very little mentioned of Jesus Christ. The only thing was mentioned was about what John the Baptist had spoke about. Behold, the Lamb of God. You know, today as we sit in this congregation, and every pastor, every teacher, every parent that ever has brought forth the glorious gospel message to their children, to our acquaintances, and to our friends and loved ones, listen, we are proclaiming the truth that John the Baptist proclaimed. Behold, the Lamb of God. What was the Lamb of God to do? He was to take away our sin. He was to redeem us and to give us forgiveness of sin. Folks, I'll tell you what. The greatest thing you'll ever receive is forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness. Malachi 4:1, the Bible says, before behold, The day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them with neither root nor branch. Now I want you to consider what is going on to be said here in verse 5. And here the Bible says, behold, he says, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. What was he to do there? He was to warn them of the impending doom. Folks, when Jesus Christ came upon the scene, Jesus Christ came upon the scene to give us freedom from the impending doom, to save us from the wrath of a sin-hating God, to redeem us or buy us back, and to give us that reconciliation that we so desperately stand in need of here today. Every last one of us stand in great need here today. Those of us who are saved stand in need of remembering what we've been saved from. Listen, folks, where would you be today had it not been for that little babe in the manger that came so long ago? Where would you be today had it not been for that one who was born to take away your sin and give you remission of sin and to give you for complete forgiveness and no condemnation to wipe all that which condemned you away? Where would you be today? You'd be just like I. We'd be on our way to a devil's hell. Without the opportunity, without the forgiveness that he offers. So I'm thankful today that John the Baptist came and what he was proclaiming was the truth in essence was, behold the Lamb of God. Go to John chapter 1 with me for just a moment and we'll look at this and we'll see what he was talking about. And I want you to consider this now. I want you to mark this down in your thought process. Had it not been for what he was saying. He says in verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Friend, that's where you need to be today. You need to understand that's exactly what we all need today. We need to understand that we have remission of sin. We need to understand that Jesus Christ came. Yes, he was born in a manger. But listen, don't leave him in that manger as a babe. Watch him as he grew up and watch him as he went to the cross of Calvary to purchase you as an individual. And that's exactly what he does. He bought you himself. You say, well, what do you mean by the fact that he bought me? All you got to do is go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And you can begin reading at verse 18 where it talks about the fact that we were not purchased with silver and gold. We were not purchased with the things of the world. Listen, we were purchased with the precious blood of the Lamb is what 1 Peter 1 says. Amen. And I'm thankful today that, listen, I'm thankful today for a time that people stop for a little bit and consider the birth of Christ. I wish the world would do it every day. I wish the world would consider this every day that Jesus Christ came and John the Baptist proclaimed the truth that he was coming as a Messiah to take away our sin. Listen, that's the reason why he came to begin with. That's the reason why he came. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came that we might receive the full forgiveness of our sins. Not just here and there. Not just certain parts of our sin. Not just until we sin again. But listen, He gave us full pardon of our sin. Pardon. Pardon. To be released of due judgment. John the Baptist was saying, listen, he's coming. And he's going to release you of your due judgment. The Messiah is coming. And he's coming as a babe in the manger. But listen, understand something. He's going to grow up and one day he's going to hang on the cross of Calvary that you might have salvation. And listen, it's not just a chance at salvation. It's not just an opportunity of salvation. Salvation is what Jesus Christ came to purchase for His people, period. John the Baptist was expounding upon that thought. You know, in verse 35 and 36, we're right here. The Bible says, in the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." You know, can you just imagine as these men were standing there, as John the Baptist and these other disciples were standing there, and they watched Jesus walk by, and the only thing that they could say was, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Amen. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb. The Savior, the Messiah. Behold, He cometh. You know, I believe it's found also in the book of Isaiah in chapter 7. In Isaiah chapter 7. Here the Bible says this in verse 14. "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." John had something to talk about, didn't he? He knew the old scriptures from, I believe it was not just from a babe, but from his implanting, because he was separated from the womb to do just this. And I believe he knew the scriptures that proclaimed a truth that, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Folks, I'll tell you, that's the reason why I like the old King James Version. Amen? It wasn't the fact that a young woman conceived. Listen, that's not miraculous. But listen, a virgin conceived, that's miraculous. Now, don't get me wrong, birth is a miraculous thing. I look at it and I'm just mesmerized. As I've been... here of late, our family's been introduced to some children. And I sat there and I hold little Parker in my arms, and I'm sitting there as soon as you walk in. I mean, I tell you, Dalton and Kendra, they're proud mom and daddy. They'll just put her in your arms and they'd sit there and smile. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this little child. And just to consider the amazement, the miracle of birth. But how much greater the miracle in a virgin birth. How much greater the miracle that Simeon, as he sat there and he held the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, and Simeon said, "Now I can die." Oh, I tell you, the beauty that was in the birth and the announcement of the Savior to come. John the Baptist proclaimed the one who would give light and guide us in the way of peace. John the Baptist prophesied the light and the peace giver. Now secondly today, I want to speak about what we're seeing here. The day spring gives light. Amen? The day spring gives light. Back in our text of Luke in chapter 2. I want you to notice what it says there. Luke in chapter 1, I'm sorry. Luke in chapter 1 and verse 79. The Bible says here, as we look at verse 78, it says, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us, to do what? To give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death." This little babe born in a manger was come to give light. And not only light to lighten our way, but give us life and immortality. John the Baptist had proclaimed the fact that this Savior was come to give us light, because He is light. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 32, just look on over just a little bit here. I believe Brother Jim read this morning. But here the Bible says in verse 32, he was a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You know, we look at this light. You know, they asked John the Baptist if he was the light. He said, no, but I'm come to bear witness of the light, the true light that cometh into the world to light every man. Folks, I want you to know something. We serve a wonderful Savior. Amen. And John the Baptist was letting us know this. Jesus Christ, the babe, brought peace with him. But not only that, he was the light giver. It actually is seen in his birth, and we saw the wondrous star. You know, as the Magi, or as these wise men came, what did they follow? They followed a bright light in the sky, didn't they? And it came and rested right on Jesus Christ where he was. Can you just imagine? I wonder how long that light was there. I mean, can you just imagine as that light shone down? As that light penetrated the earth's atmosphere and there Jesus Christ, that light, that little child who was no longer in the mangers, Brother Jim said, listen, this was at least 2 years later because that's how long it took them to get to the King, the Messiah. And all along they followed that light till they came right to the place where the Messiah was. And what did the Bible say they done? They fell down, they worshiped him, they offered him gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Folks, I want you to know something. Listen, we get caught up in the gift giving and receiving today. I know that. But understand the greatest gift is as even these Magi came and they offered these precious gifts to this Savior, the best that they could bring. Can you just imagine? But what that babe had to offer us far exceeded all the gifts of the world. That babe had wonderment in salvation. That was the greatest gift to ever be offered to mankind. And you know what? As that Savior hanged there on the cross of Calvary, I could just imagine as he laid down those arms, he opened them arms up. He was giving you the greatest gift ever given. His life for atonement of sin. Friend, I'll tell you, there's no greater gift than the light of men. There's no greater opportunity to come out of darkness and into the light than what Jesus gives us this very hour. He gives us that. In Luke chapter 2, verse 6, notice what it says here now. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now I want you to listen to this now. And there were in the same country, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. I could see that. I could see that when men might have been standing out there under the stars that evening, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord came upon them, and a great light shone. It said in verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told of them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
Folks, I want you to consider this. I'm talking about the Savior today. I'm talking about the Redeemer. Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 through 11 speaks about it. John chapter 1 verse 1 through 14 speaks about the fact that He is the light. He came into the world to bear witness. And listen, not only did John the Baptist bear witness, but He came and was that witness to the light, the true light, that lighteth every man. What a Savior we have today. What a Redeemer. In John chapter 1 again, the Bible says, now get a hold of this. In verse 4 He says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In verse number 8, He says, He was not that light, speaking about the witness, John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Oh, today, my friend, this which we celebrate this time of year, which the world celebrates only this time of year, it seems. He's the actual light giver, amen. You know, right now our hearts, being lost and undone, our hearts are darkened. Our eyes are darkened. We cannot see. We are sitting here today, and if you're lost, you're in darkness, spiritual darkness. And you need the light of men to light up your life. John the Baptist says, I'm going to show you that light. He's the Messiah. Now what else was that day spring for? The Bible says is to give peace. Back in our text of Luke in chapter 1 and verse 79, it says to give light to them that sit in darkness, the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. To guide our feet in the way of peace. Jesus Christ, the babe, brought peace with Him, and He displayed it in all His life. When He was reviled against, what did He do? He reviled not. Not like us, is He? A lot of times when we are falsely accused or even accused of something that we have done, a lot of times we lash out and we speak back and we do things that we ought not to do. We're not like Jesus Christ is in that way. But Jesus Christ, when He was confronted, when Jesus Christ was confronted and spoke against, Jesus offered peace to Him. He would speak to the fact, He says, you know not what you say. He would speak to the fact that, listen, I am the life and the light of men. When Pilate asked Him about His pedigree, He said, you say that I am. I mean, in all of the life of Christ, He continually brought forth the message of peace to all who was around Him. The way of peace, the Bible says, of the lost man they have not known. At this time, Jesus Christ was brought forth to bring peace to all who would come unto Him. Jesus Christ was brought forth to be the peacemaker, that one who would go between God and you. John the Baptist preached that Jesus Christ was peace. And regardless of the cruel treatment of Jesus Christ by men, listen, He still emulated the greatest peace ever known to mankind. What does John 14 say? John chapter 14 verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you.
Oh, my friend today, he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I believe, Brother John, you mentioned something about that this morning. I believe all of us, big part of us in here, have lost parents and grandparents, people that are close to us. But we that are saved have this peace, this inner peace within us, knowing that those who have departed and departed in righteousness or departed saved individuals, we that are saved, listen, it wasn't a goodbye, was it? It's just, I'll see you later. You all look back and I'm amazed. Brother Jim, myself, was talking this morning about the time, how it seems to fly. My dad's been gone over 5 years, and I look back and I said, where did the time go? I look back over our ministry here in the last 16 years, and my mind begins to go to those old saints that's gone on. My mind says, where in the world has time gone? And I sit and oftentimes if I get to pondering on those old saints, and my heart begins to get overwhelmed sometimes. I used to love to go down and sit with Brother Tuck. Oh my goodness. If you was having a down day, you go talk to Brother Tuck. He was a man sitting there blind and unable to go anywhere or do anything. The boy, he had a voice. He had a voice that would bring comfort to you and just kind of make you realize, listen, life ain't so bad. I mean, it ain't nearly as bad as what it could be. Those that are saved by the grace of God have that peace. Amen. We have that peace of knowing that come what may, we are God's people and we are born again and we have the promise. We have a promise. We have a promise of eternal life. We have the promise of no more condemnation. I mean, all those sins that we think about that rest upon our shoulders. We're humans. We do that. I don't care how long you've been saved, there's always something that goes back in your mind and says, oh man, you remember that. As far as our judgment is concerned, God says, I don't remember. Think about it. As far as our penal judgment is concerned, He says, I don't see them. Because when I look at you, I see the blood of my Son. That gives me peace. To realize that regardless of the sin that I have committed, listen, there's peace in knowing that I have forgiveness. And it will no longer be brought up against me as far as judgment is concerned. Peace. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's what I believe that John the Baptist was expounding upon here. The Savior of peace was come. The Savior of righteousness was come. In Philippians 4 and 7, the Bible says, "In the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." You're right there close going over to the book of Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, "And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." So, John 14 in the very first phrase there, verse 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." I believe that's what John the Baptist was in all of his speaking. I believe he could say just that. Let not your hearts be troubled. The Messiah's come. He's come to do what? Take away the sin. He's come to give us perfect righteousness through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Are you walking in the light that produces peace today? Listen, can you enjoy this light and peace for all eternity? Yes. Not just around December 25th like everybody's trying to promote today, this great time of feeling. Listen, I run into Rebecca the other day, and I was dreading going where I was going. I mean, I was walking into Hobby Lobby. that place was, I'm talking, it was packed out. I mean, there was people everywhere. This time of year, there was men everywhere. I was going in to retrieve my wife, though. I was going to go try to find her. She's not here right now, so I can say that. Nobody's going to say nothing, are you? I was going in to see where she was at. I thought, my goodness. I walked in, I could see there was nothing but a whole crowd of people there. I mean, the lines were all the way across. As far as you could see, there was people all the way back through. I thought, how in the world did they get everybody in here? I didn't see a whole lot of peace. There's a lot of anguish upon the faces of people. My wife, she kind of laughs at me because I get tickled sometimes at looking at people's faces, especially this time of year. There's so much hollering peace and joy, but man, upon the faces of individual, there is no peace and joy. I think they've forgotten. I think they've forgotten what real peace and joy is all about. Amen. You know, in all the gifts that we give and get, I wonder how many of them really be remembered and be appreciated. Folks, I'll tell you, you'll never forget the greatest gift ever given you, and you'll never cease to appreciate it. The greatest gift is salvation. The greatest gift was what John the Baptist was proclaiming here, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Today, if you're here and you're lost, let me invite you to Jesus Christ. Let me invite you to the Savior who's come, left glory that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, you can have peace and joy more than just on December 25th. You can have it for all eternity. Because the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16, it says this one great truth, and I want you to listen to it again. And I know you know this, you've heard it all your life, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, that's peaceable. That's something that brings peace to my heart and joy. Do you long for that same joy this hour? If you do, the Bible says in Romans 10 and 8 again, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy ears and in thy heart, He says. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, there is no jumping through hoops here. It's simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them to preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. the day spring that brings light and life and peace. John the Baptist proclaimed him. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, that's the importance of God's gospel today. God's holy word to be proclaimed that you may believe. And I'm saying here today in this congregation that if there be any here that's lost and undone, you can believe and receive life everlasting. Why? Because of he whom John the Baptist proclaimed, the Lamb of God. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow before your throne, we do thank you for the day which you've given us, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Father, I thank you for forgiveness of sin. I thank you, dear God, for the great salvation that the Lamb of God brought unto me. And Father, today as we take time out, we consider in this time of year the birth of Christ. I pray, Lord, that the world around may understand the true meaning of joy and peace. Lord, I pray that the world around may not leave this Lamb of God as a babe in a manger, but they'll see him as the Redeemer on the tree. Lord, I pray for salvation today. Bless your people. May we all receive honor and glory as only thou can give. Thankfulness, dear God. Thankfulness for our great salvation. And as we consider the fact that you're in our midst, we do count it an honor to behold thy glory in the face of the saints of God. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless us today. May our time together be sweet. May our communion be fellowship. And, Lord, as we go out into this community here in just a little while, may we as a church family broadcast the light of salvation to all who will hear. May they hear it in song. May they hear it in word and print. Father, we ask that you be with us now and forgive us our sin. In Jesus Christ's name and amen.